Okay, back to Dr. Ernest L. Martin. So, tell me what the skies might have looked like just 2,000 years ago. And again, this has all been reconstructed in various planetary programs, 600-plus planetariums. You can see it this Christmas in a planetarium near you. So tell us what we looked at. Were we seeing comets?
Well, as a matter of fact, we would not see comets or even novae or any of the suggested spectacular displays like that. What we would see if we were back there at the time of the Magi that inspired them to make the long journey from the east to Jerusalem.
By the way, Dr. Martin,
yes.
Who were the Magi exactly?
The Magi, we translate them as the wise men, and they were a part of a professional class of astrologers, but they were interpreters to the Persian kings, to the Parthian kings, in matters dealing with civil, governmental, financial, as well as astrological predictions and things like that. They, Daniel was considered as part of the magicians.
Mm-hmm.
It's a term that has a nefarious type of a meaning to us today.
Mm-hmm.
Because we usually associate with magic and magicians, and
mm-hmm.
I don't mean the kind of magicians you have in Las Vegas. I mean the type that conjure up evil things against humanity and
mm-hmm.
so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The ancient magicians, there were charlatans at the time, but these people they represented a priestly class of which even Daniel was made a part of back in the 6th century, but they were living, of course, in the 1st century B.C.
Right.
And they were well respected by people in the world, not in the Roman world as well as in the Parthian world.
Hmm.
And for Matthew to include their testimony about that star and
mm-hmm.
what they did to present the Christ child with gifts
mm-hmm.
Was really something that would have been looked upon as very authoritative, like we would say someone from Stanford University or University of Chicago or Harvard. They were looked upon as
mm-hmm.
very important personalities,
mm-hmm.
and they were not charlatans at all. This is in my book where I explain these things, and it's important that we understand that principle, because it's just not people dealing with the religion or the magic of astrology that many people are involved in.
Sure, I understand. Okay, all right. What did it look like, those stars above us back then?
Well, here is the thing I'd like to explain first to set up that scene.
Uh-huh.
Most of us, before I went into this study some 25 years ago, and I mean, I was as much a part of the normal scene as any in teaching in college and university. But what we find is that all of us had accepted that Jesus was born in either 5, 6, or 7, perhaps 8 B.C., somewhere in that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the heavens, and they're pretty easy to construct, you know, back at that time. Astronomers have done that, and it's pretty easy to see. It's not difficult.
Sure.
Nothing of a spectacular occasion took place that would make anyone really think that something spectacular was occurring in the heavens.
Uh-huh.
So what I began to look at, however, is that the period of time in which Jesus was born? The main reason for selecting that earlier period, that is before 4 B.C., and Jeff, I should mention this,
mm-hmm.
is because Josephus, that same Jewish historian I've
mm-hmm.
been talking about,
mm-hmm.
he mentioned a lot about King Herod and at his time. And he said that King Herod died just not long after, about 2 weeks after, an eclipse of the moon and just before a Jewish springtime Passover.
Huh.
That would put, most people would think that would, that's pretty easy to date if you can get an eclipse of the moon.
All right.
The only thing is there are several eclipses of the moon that can occur. That occurs in cycles as well, and you've got to get the right eclipse. Up to my research, that is up to 25 years ago, most of us who were historians dealing with astronomy, we would select the 13th of March eclipse. There was a partial eclipse of the moon. It's a lunar eclipse, not a solar,
sure.
Which would always happen in the middle of the month. And we selected the eclipse of the 13th of March in 4 B.C. Now, if that was the eclipse associated with Herod's death, then Herod would have died very near the 1st of April, somewhere in there. And it's before a springtime Passover of the Jews, so that seemed to fit pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at what was happening in the heavens, and nothing seemed to fit, nothing like Matthew was saying. But you know, there was another eclipse. The Professor Filmer in England wrote in Oxford University Press an article in 1966 in which he showed that it wasn't the eclipse of the moon in the 13th of March 4 BC that was associated with Herod's death, but a more spectacular one and a full one, a total one, that took place around midnight on the 10th of January in 1 BC.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I began then to reconstruct the history of the period. And if that is the case, that Herod then died not long after that eclipse in January of 1 BC, that meant that Jesus could have been born in 2 or 3 BC.
Right, okay, that changes everything. Hold
that
on.
That changed everything.
Hold on, Dr. Okay. Martin. We'll pause and come right back.
Yeah.
As we go back in history, 2,000 years plus a couple, and try to take a look at what the skies look like and figure it all out with Dr. Ernest L. Martin. And we'll continue right after this.